Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer here in New York City, and I'm broadcasting tonight on a beautiful Sunday, March 26th, from the Bright Red Desk on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. And we're in a beautiful weather. It's kind of shifting. It's very shifting. And of course, March came in like a lion, and every day it swings between lion and lamb, lion and lamb. It's supposed to go out the other way, but I think it's going to leave like a lion too. It's that kind of month. We are talking on today about all the week ahead, what's going to happen this week, and it's a pretty volatile week. As you know, we've been living in volatile times. There is a T-square in the heavens, and for those of you who live with T-squares, you know how action-packed your life is. The rest of us are learning about T-squares by hanging out with these planets. So there's a lot of energy of action, 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 even if you kind of go, okay, so like what just happened, you know? And there are major Aries events happening. We had the Uranus-Eris event. They joined for the third and final time last week. And then they're going to split up now for 84 years. They catch up with each other again 84 years from now, a conjunction. And we had the whole Russia thing come out with Trump and a lot of Russia stuff, and we'll see what happens with that. And then Uranus-Eris, of course, is the goddess of discord and problems, so there was a little trouble getting the health care bill to the finish line. I kind of was like, they didn't even vote. They didn't even hold a vote and vote to lose. They just kind of gave up and said, okay, well, so bad. We're so sad we're leaving now. I'm like, man, you guys have been complaining about this for 8 years, and if we start with Hillary back in 94, when she started trying to do health care, you've been talking about this for 22 years. Where's the plan? But that's Aries, right? And it's an interesting quality about Aries, because a lot of people go, they're very competitive, but they only compete when they know they can win. And if they know they're not going to win, they retreat, which is not something that most people talk about with Aries, but they kind of, they take off. And I remember I had a friend who was really, really mad when 9/11 happened. He's an Aquarian, Capricorn, Leo rising, you know, stay and fight for the land kind of guy. So 9/11 happened. It was craziness here in New York. And this Aries friend of his gathered his wife, ran to a car dealer, rented a car, and drove out of town, right? And he was like, you left? And the guy's like, well, yeah, we were under attack. And he was really mad. And then he goes, but I always forget that Aries really aren't that brave. They're learning to be brave in this lifetime. That's part of their job. And then whatever our sun sign is what we're learning about. So when the planets are in fire like they are, you know, everybody's learning to be brave, or we're learning to figure out how to be brave, or we're learning how to, you know, go for the war. But when you're not going to win, you just bail and do a retreat, which is essentially what we just saw happen. So I'm kind of like, wow, I guess we got some paper tigers down there. Let's keep fighting. It incends the ones that go, really, that wasn't hard at all, man. I'm a wimpy little Virgo. And I was like, wow, I would have at least voted, at least held people accountable. But no, we retreat. So it's interesting. So a lot of this Aries energy, and I don't mean it in a mean way, is a little blustery, but it doesn't actually deliver. Remember, it's a fire sign, right? So fire signs, matches go out. Aries are matches. So the match just went out. And you're like, wow, that was fast. Huh, who knew? Now we're all learning about Aries. We have a lot of planets in the sky. So we had the Uranus-Mars, which was the contention, arguing, fighting, right? Then we had the Aries ingress last week, where the sun went into Aries, starting the new season. Or perhaps starting the new year. You know, some people like to think of it as seasons. Some astrologers do it for the year. Some do it for, you know, they do the solstice in the winter for the year. You can pick. When I was looking at the Aries ingress chart, I'm like, I think I'm going back to the solstice chart. What happened then? Because I like that one a little better. Now with this whole thing, I'm like, you know, maybe I'm going to stick with the Aries chart. And of course, Aries can be a little indecisive. No, it is a match. It gets carried away by the wind. This week, we had the Venus star point yesterday on Saturday. And what the Venus star point is, it's when the sun and Venus meet. And they do this every 9.5 months. So they're going to meet again next January. They met last June. They met in August of 15, when the eclipse energy was wrapping that up a couple weeks ago. So this starts a new 8-year cycle, and in some cases a 4-year cycle. So you can do 4 years, 8 years, 4 years, 8 years, in the house that has 5 degrees of Aries. So you want to look at where that house is, because you're beginning a new love, money, creative cycle in that house, and that started on Saturday after the failure to complete on Friday. Kind of feel like it's a bad lover, you know what I mean? They're like, well, I'm satisfied. I hope you're okay. I'm out of here. Bye. I'm like, really? You're leaving without nothing? Come on. That's not fair. At any rate, I digress. But now we have the Sun-Venus conjunction. So this is a new passionate 8-year cycle starting in our house with 5-degree Aries. The way you find that out is you look at your edge of your chart, your house cusps, and you see where 5-degree Aries is. And remember, they go kind of in order, Aries, Taurus, Gemini, whatever. So it has to, if you got something in 10 Aries, it's going to be in the house ahead of it, right? And that's where you're initiating the new Aries energy. Now, I'm going to have an Aries webinar at 7:30 tonight, so you can also tune into that. We're going to talk about the Venus star point and her energy. We're also going to talk about what she's doing now, is she's turning into a morning star. Now, the Mayans knew this was not a good thing. When she turned into a morning star, it was war. And so she's going to be a morning star until we get to January, right? So you think it's been fighting thou. more fighting. Or more asserting what we want. If we're going to do positive higher form of Venus, which of course we can do. And then right after that, today, tomorrow night, we have a new moon in Aries, which is going to be a little bit later. That's going to be at 7 degrees, I believe. And that starts, that's at 737 degrees of Aries. And that starts a new 2.5-year cycle, again, in that house. But it's linking up with the Venus. So this new moon and combines Venus into it. So that's kind of cool, because there's like 3 planets tied in with the new moon, which links your Libra and your Taurus-ruled houses, as well as your Cancer and your Leo-ruled houses all together. So this is a really, really, if you do no other new moon ritual this year, do one on this new moon, because you've got the energy of the Venus star point saying a new 8-year cycle around creation in a primary direction. And when Venus is turning from an evening star to a morning, she's close to Earth. So you're able to get in touch with what you deeply internally want. And if you think about all the stuff that's been going on while we've been dealing with Venus retrograde, she's been taking you on a journey. Old lovers calling, old partners calling, old people that you used to work with, people that you used to create with, calling back up, checking in, saying, hi, have been thinking about you, want to talk to you. That song, Auld Lang Syne, met my old lover in the ice cream aisle or whatever it was. Want to kind of connect in, but as she goes into the morning star energy, she becomes much more fierce. Venus is supposed to rule the night. That's where she's the benefic. When you make her get up in the morning before the sun, she's a little cranky, I'm reminded as a child when my father periodically would go hunting, right? And made my mother crazy. She's a Leo, and she could yell. And he's an Aries, he could yell. And so she's like, you're going to go to the woods, you're going to fall over a log, you're going to shoot yourself, you're going to bleed to death and die. And what about us? I'm going to be widowed, I'm going to have these kids to raise. And she would scream my father out the house in the morning when he left for hunting. He didn't get to leave quietly, he just got yelled right out of the house. And he would go over to Haggerty's house, and Dr. Haggerty and Noreen. And Noreen would come down in a peignoir, and they would have champagne and orange juice, and she'd cook them eggs and pancakes and kiss him goodbye. And my father was always like, it's such a contrast, how he gets sent off to go hunt in the woods and do this manly thing versus how I get sent off with this, screaming wife. So Venus and Aries can go both ways. And I was doing some work earlier this week and kind of thinking about old stuff And I remembered those stories. So watch for the Venus being a little out of bounds, a little wild, a little crazy as she goes off to become a morning star. And she disappears from the heavens for a little while, and then she returns. We'll see her again in 40 days. And she will be back, or 41 days. She'll be back, and we'll be like, oh, you're back. And she's like, yes, I'm back. And then she is a morning star from, you know, actually technically as of yesterday. So it makes everybody a little feistier, and it makes everybody a little faster moving. Because she is retrograde, it does make us, it does suggest we should think before we go jumping off, but it also says that perhaps we're going to be a bit heedless about the consequences, because we're kind of like, well, you know, why should I heed those? So the combination of the Venus star point and the new moon in Aries, which we'll talk about at length, where it is in your chart and how to work with it, how to manifest it, great new moon for a ritual. It happens tomorrow night at 10. It's a fire moon, obviously. Fire rituals are involved. And your job is to just kind of take the moment. And remember, there's a new moon every month in some chart, some house in your chart. And you've probably already been doing this Venus thing for the last little bit because you've been focusing. Gee, I need to pay a little more attention to whatever house it's in your chart. So we'll talk about that in the webinar. But on to the other fun things this week, because we do have a few of them. One, we're going to get ready for Saturn stationing. Saturn reaches the degree of his station this week. He's not actually stopping until next week, but we know we feel him 5 days before, which is this during this week. So we're going to start feeling Saturn slowing down to stop at 27 in high change, and then he's going to go backwards until the fall. So forward motion begins to slow down. Again, all the planets in the sky are moving forward except for Jupiter and Venus. So, you know, good time to get stuff out the door if you can. We also have this week, we have, besides the new moon, we have two planets changing signs. We have Mercury going into Taurus from Aries, where he's very feisty, and he's getting a little more grounded. But remember, Taurus is still answering to Venus and Aries. So the Taurus planets, Mars and Mercury, are still a little bit crabby because they're answering to Venus and Aries. Or direct. We'll make them direct. We'll stop calling Venus and Aries crabby. And then we also have Venus, who's moving retrograde, entering Pisces next Sunday night. She goes back into Pisces to go retrograde until she stations direct on the 15th of April. So again, this is, you know, she's at the back end degrees of, or the early degrees, because she's moving backwards, of Aries, and she goes into the last degrees of Pisces this week. And then last but not least, one of the fun things that we're working with in the sky is we have this whole Jupiter, Pluto, Uranus T-square. So last week Jupiter set off the fire guys. This week he's going to come and square Pluto. So he's carrying messages. Remember, Uranus and Pluto were having a fight from 2010 to 2015, and then they split up, but they still have communication. So Jupiter is carrying the message that he got last week from Uranus and Aries. He's taking it back to Pluto this week. He's going to talk to Pluto. He and Pluto are going to have a confab. Jupiter's going to go backwards for a little bit more. And then he's going to come back again for pass three across Pluto. And then he's going to catch up with Uranus. So we've got this dialogue going on with this T-square. And the T-square, of course, is the craziness in our culture, in all the world, truly, where the power is facing off against the angry person or the angry energy, the fiery energy, the passionate energy, and the try and be nice energy, Libra. But right now Libra's answering to Venus and Aries too, so everybody's kind of on fire. So the whole sky's on fire. When we look at that new moon, every single planet's on fire, which is kind of a lot. Or they're answering to fire. You know, there's a thing called dispositors. I was doing a lesson on this the other day with one of my students, and they were like, what's dispositor? What's a chart ruler? And one of the ways that we get to, you know, all the beauty of astrology and how it describes virtually everything under the sun is we work with rulers or we work with dispositors, and we take them, this is your astrology lesson part, we take them through their story, right? So if we look at the Pisces planets in the, you know, in the Venus star point, they're answering to modern ruler, traditional rulers. They're answering to Jupiter. Jupiter's in Libra, answers to Venus and Aries, right? So we get to Venus and Aries. Venus goes to Mars. Mars goes back to Venus. When we hit the planet twice, we've hit the ruler. So we've just taken all those Pisces planets and made them on fire. The Aries planets, of course, we know are on fire. The Taurus planets, they answer to Venus. She says, go back to Mars. They go back to Mars. Mars says, go back to Venus. They're on fire, right? So Mercury goes into Taurus this week. He gets on fire. Mars is on fire. Ceres is on fire. And then, of course, the planets that are just in Aries, the Venus, the Sun, the Mercury, the Eris, the Uranus, the part of fortune, all on fire. Then we go to Vesta, who's out of bounds. Well, on the Venus star point, she's answering to Pisces moon. And Pisces moon on fire. You know, you follow the moon through the story. Because we go, remember the Pisces was on fire. Then we go to the Virgo, North Node, answers to Mercury and Aries. Answers to Mars, answers to Venus, answers to Mars. So it's on fire, and it's on a Taurus fire. The Mercury's a little slower moving, but it still goes through fire. Jupiter and Libra, answers to Venus and Aries. Answers to Mars, answers to Venus and Aries. So Jupiter's on fire. Saturn and Sagittarius, plain old fire sign. But if we go to Jupiter, because that's the ruler, takes us to Venus, takes us to Mars, takes us back to Venus, on fire again. And then, of course, our Capricorn planets, they are answering to Saturn. He's on fire. And we, you see how it goes. The whole sky's on fire. Literally every planet is either ruled by a planet on fire or answering to a planet on fire. So that means the fire energy is a little out of control, so we do want to watch it in your house, in your home. Be careful around fires. Be careful around electrical things. I was doing a reading with one of my favorite clients the other day, and we were talking about she'd had a fire, a conscious fire that she'd done on the new moon in Leo a couple years ago, and that was a fire that she set on purpose, and she burned some stuff because she was banishing the person. We talked a little bit about that, and then at the end of the reading, she catches her sausage on fire in the toaster oven. She's like, oh my God, I got a fire in my oven. And I was like, I can't believe we're beginning and ending on fire. How cool is that? But yeah, a little grease fire from the aluminum foil that the sausage was in that she warmed up in the toaster oven caught on fire. Fire is really around us. People are very volatile. And so your job is just to know that that's like the energy, and there's nothing to really do with it except direct it. Fire can be fabulous. You know, it's how we get steaks. It's how we get, you know, we warm ourselves on a cold winter night. It's the beauty. It's light. It's, you know, it's wonderful, especially when it's contained. So it's a very fiery week. We're not done yet with the fire. We got another little bit of chunk of fire. Now, when Venus goes into Pisces, next week it gets nice. But that means this week's very fiery. And then she's going to be in Pisces, and then she's going back in Aries for another patch till the end of June. So we're on fire all year, all the first half of the year. Okay, so get your new moon calendars ready. Moon's in Pisces today with crappy closing aspects of a square to the Saturn. And then at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, 10:11 a.m., moon goes into Aries. There's a full moon tomorrow night at 10:57 p.m. And then the moon is in Aries on Tuesday. And it goes void at 8:07 in the morning on Wednesday morning. And it goes void with a trine to Saturn. Moon in Aries, trine Saturn and Sag. But remember, all the planets in the sky are on fire. It's void in the morning from 8 in the morning till 11:48. And then it goes into Taurus, which, of course, answers to Venus on fire in Aries. And so it's Taurus moon Wednesday afternoon, all day Thursday, and it goes void at 7:12 p.m. Thursday night with moon trine Pluto. Again, a good closing aspect. Void all night Thursday night, enters Gemini bright and early, well, not really bright and early, 12:40 p.m. Eastern time. On Friday, noontime-ish, Gemini moon, Friday afternoon, Saturday the 11th, the 1st, and then Sunday the 2nd, it goes void at 10:43 a.m. with an opposition to Saturn, so Moon in Gemini opposite Saturn, which makes the events of Friday afternoon and Saturday end with a separating aspect. And then it goes into Cancer. The Moon goes into Cancer at 2:27 on Sunday afternoon, and the Cancer has a nice closing aspect of a trine to Venus. So it's Cancer Moon on Sunday. So that's generally a pretty nice week, Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. Watch the voids. The voids are in the morning, 6:19 to 10 a.m. on Monday, 8 a.m. till 11:48 on Wednesday, and then 7:12 at night on Thursday, and then Friday morning until 12:40. Friday, Saturday, a little cranky separating energy, but that's okay. You know, we have to separate from stuff. The Jupiter-Pluto conjunction, the Jupiter-Pluto square happens on the 30th. Okay, now think about this. The air of Libra in partnership and relationship is squaring Pluto, the planet of power. So we're going to say, okay, so Jupiter's squaring Pluto, the power planet, and what are they doing? They're having a discussion. Jupiter's in Libra, the sign of law, square Pluto, the sign of power. But they're also carrying all the messages from those Aries energies that those people, remember the town hall meetings? That was when Uranus was in Aries. And they're carrying all that message back, right? So this is part two of a continuing saga. We still have more to go. We also have those planets changing signs, which is also kind of fun. So the sun is going this week from 6 Aries to 12, a degree a day. And it has an aspect with a node of fate on the 29th. So you want to kind of see who you meet on Saturday, on Wednesday rather. And then it has an inconjunct to Neptune, which means it gets a little blindsided on April 2nd. Mercury is zipping along, and he is in 22 Aries on the world axis at the beginning of the week, and he gets to 1 Taurus, so he's shifting. But when he goes into Taurus, even though it's an earth sign, it's still answering to Venus and fire. So he's still fiery until Venus goes back into Pisces, which happens on Sunday, next Sunday. Mercury has an aspect of making choices and ending things, very ending energy on the 26th, where I'm done with this, ready to go. That's today. And then it is joins to Uranus, and it says, okay, new beginnings, this is how we're gonna roll. Has an aspect of healing on the 27th. It's a little bit diluted on the 29th with its semi-square to Neptune. And then there's a lovely trine to Saturn, which is very productive and helps you get a lot accomplished, and that happens on the 29th. So the 29th is a great day for getting things out into the world. Of course, the new moon in Aries, you can do the ritual on Monday night, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and up until Friday morning. All good times, because those aspects are good for closing and releasing, sending stuff out that you're asking for. If you want to let go of stuff, do it tonight, tomorrow, good times to release with the moon square Saturn. Say, I'm done with that. I cleaned up my refrigerator this morning. Good time to get that cleaned out. Mercury also enters Taurus on March 31st at 1:30 in the afternoon, which then makes him calm down a little, but he's still answering to a fire. And then he has a little bit of an argument with Venus and Pallas Athena on the 1st. Now, Pallas Athena and Venus are traveling together, so they're kind of, Venus in Aries is very strategic. She's a war goddess. She wants what she wants, and she wants to get it, and she's going to figure out how. Now, she might not be 100% direct because she's going retrograde right now. That does not mean she's not thinking about it. So the other thing to remember is if you get a no now, because Venus is retrograde, ask again when she goes direct. So we were talking today, I had my astrology discussion group, we were talking about a situation, and I'm like, well, ask again when Venus goes direct, because I don't think that the person knew when they said no, the impact. And now when Venus goes direct, well, maybe they'll change their mind. So do remember, because it's retrograde, we can have a reversal, or there can be things not quite running the way you think they should, but they can shift. Venus is going backwards from 3 Aries into Pisces. And so she hits the node of fate. She hits Uranus, actually, and the nodes of fate on the 28th. So the nodes of fate ask her to make a choice, and it's a choice that she doesn't really want to make, but it's important to make. It's aspecting the north node in Virgo and the North Node in Virgo is trying to wrap up stuff that he's been working on for the last year and a half. So this is a big wrap-up week for unfinished projects. She has a semi-square to Ceres, giving her a real creative bent. That happens on the 29th. And she also has an opposition by contraparallel to Neptune on the 31st. So Venus contraparallel Neptune means the veil is lifted and you see something you hadn't seen before. Remember, the point of Venus retrograde is to release and reveal the secrets. And, of course, it's the secrets of angry women or the angry feminine. And it can be a guy that's really mad, doesn't like his mother, doesn't like his wife, doesn't like whatever, and he kind of reveals doesn't like you if you're a woman, or doesn't like your girly things, whatever. So it can, it's not just when I say angry feminine. Think male, men can be angry too. It's not just the women. Somebody said something to me about that. I said, no. The men have an anima. They have a feminine side. Depends on how they've integrated it. Same with us. We have a masculine side. Depends on how we've integrated it. But when the planet that rules it is going backwards and she's in a fiery place, stove is hot, don't touch. So Venus links up with Pallas Athena and gets a brilliant new strategy on the world axis on April 1st. So watch what you find out on April 1st, because that's really big. And then Venus also has a semi-square with her buddy Mars, so they're fighting. Venus is fighting with partner this week. So it's not a great week to do those what do you think of me conversations, or where is this relationship going, or it's a good week to work on your own knitting. Aries is an independent missile silo kind of sign. Don't go trying to get stuff out of people emotionally this week. Not a good week for that. Figure out what you need to accomplish and focus on that with laser vision and work on your stuff, not theirs. Right underneath all the Pisces planets, which is I'm feeling really sorry for myself. I'm feeling really bad. I don't know what I'm doing. Right under that is this boiling rage. Okay, so we kind of have to watch for that because it's a way of tricking us in. You know, someone who's kind of doing the like the bird does when they kind of pretend they're hurt to draw you away from the nest of birds, you know, they're like, oh, I'm so hurt. Oh. And you kind of fall for it, and then they go, ah, you know. So you want to kind of just know, it might not be a great week to be empathetic. I'm not going to say don't be empathetic because it sounds mean, but think of it as, I got to kind of do my thing here, you know, work on your stuff and then get back to me. It's an energy where people are really in the mood to blame other people. And, you know, we all are co-creators of our reality, you know. So if they're saying, you know, you manipulate and control me, you can say, well, you allowed yourself to be manipulated and controlled. Or you can just go, you're right, I did. Stop the argument. I was playing Monopoly one time with a friend who was a little controlling and difficult. We were doing Monopoly. We were skiing out in Utah. We get to the end, and she's mortgaged a bunch of things, and she owns all these properties, and she's built hotels. And I land on, like, Park Place, and I'm going to have to get all my bank out and start mortgaging the properties. Well, I know the handwriting's on the wall, so I'm like, okay, I declare bankruptcy. You win. She, what? I said, I declare bankruptcy. You win. Let's go get a drink. Let's go to the bar and go get dinner. What? I said, I want to leave. I'm done. You won. She was so mad because she really wanted to squeeze it out of me. And I just didn't want to play. That's this week. Don't let him squeeze it out of you. Mars is in Taurus, running from 12 Taurus to 16 Taurus. He has a sesquiquadrate to Saturn and a sextile to Neptune. Do not fall for that trap. They like to get you in that trap. Go, no, you can't get me. Mars is trining Juno, so he has a partnership opportunity on the 29th. Say yes. Go for it. Jupiter has a square to Pluto on the 30th. This is about relationships and power dynamics. A lot of power dynamics playing in the world this week. Decide how you want to play. Decide what your rules are. Neptune aspecting Poseidon. A lot of emotional feeling sorry for myself on the 28th. And emotional weepy, crying. Pallas Athena enters Aries on the 30th. She gets really strong when she enters Aries and very straightforward and directed. And we have a lot of energy around Pluto trining Ceres and working in a quintile with strategy on the 2nd. So we're going to see stuff this week. And I would advise you to think about it and maybe not react, just kind of watch it. Just watch what's going on and kind of go, okay, let me just look at that and see what I think about it. Because, boy, that's not what they were talking about before. And then draw your conclusions. Pallas Athena, Mercury, and Venus all working together. You're able to make brilliant deductions this week. You're all Sherlock Holmeses of your life. And it's a great week to be that. This is Ann Ortley signing off. I'll see you all next week. Come and make sure new moon ritual. If you don't come to my thing tonight, do it sometime in the next 4 days. Because this is a really potent new moon. Mercury, Venus, Sun, Moon, whoosh. Pallas Athena, let's get that energy out there and creating. Take care, signing off, wishing you all a great week. Goodbye.